miss the road. Oh, yeah. Terribly sorry. Yes, very sorry.
Quite all right. Welcome to the third of this year's John Crow Ransom Memorial Lectures. Again, this series is made possible by the support of the George Gunn Foundation of Cleveland. Mr. Anthony Burgess has taken for his general title Disharmonious Sisters, but at the last lecture he gave a fascinating, sometimes startling, illustration of some apparent harmonies between the music and the literature of the pre-First War period. That lecture was entitled Rhythm Sprung and Unsprung, tonight's What Does Music Say?
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Must try and be late tomorrow night as well. Of course, I would be late for the most difficult of all the three sessions, four sessions, because I'm now in this very difficult ground where I can hardly prop myself up with words and have to concentrate on notes to a great extent. The question, what does music say, had better be preceded by a brief consideration of how the term musical is sometimes loosely used. Some languages are regarded as more musical than others. Italian, for instance, is more musical than English, or certainly American English. The poetry of Alfred Lord Tennyson is musical. The poetry of Algernon Charles Swinburne is musical, which means it sounds something like this. When the hounds of string are all splintered spaces, the mother of mouths in shadow and shade fills the foison of forms and faces with crisp of cleaves and packets unpaid, and the grey-green graconate garrulous is punched and paged and merciless to the sawn-up silk and the lemon laces, the bees that burgeon, the forms that fade. In other words, phonemes and morphemes without discernible meaning. T.S. Eliot pointed out that there are four lines by Swinburne which go like this. In the beginning of years, there went to the making of man, time with a gift of tears, grief with a glass that ran. And it wouldn't make a great deal of difference to the meaning if we changed time with a gift of tears to grief with a gift of tears. It would make more sense, and time with a glass that ran. Now, it's no accident that Swinburne was the least musical in the purely technical sense of all poets. He was genuinely tin-eared. In the house of Watts Dunstan, where Swinburne lived, one night some people played a song for him that went like this. Yes, it is replete with the cruel beauty of the Borgias. Well, the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, if we did not know that was three blind mice, we might equally be prepared to be taken in, because any meaning given to music is never implicit, never internal, but always imposed from the outside.